Last Thursday was Ascension Day, and a crowd of folks across the Dale gathered at Gervaux Abbey on Thursday evening for the first time since 2019 to mark the occasion with a celebration of communion accompanied by Bedale Band. It was a beautiful evening. It was a really special time together. But once again, it also marked the launch of 10 days of global prayer that's been initiated by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, called Thy Kingdom Come. And in this 10 days from Ascension to Pentecost, our Archbishop is calling us to pray for three very specific things. Firstly, that all Christians would find new life in Jesus Christ. Secondly, that everyone that we meet, that everyone who crosses our path might see something of the risen Jesus in us, in the way we are, how we think, how we speak, how we respond to the world around us. And thirdly, that the church would overflow with the presence of Jesus Christ. It's always good, isn't it, to be reminded at regular intervals of the importance of prayer. We know we need to pray regularly, but so many other things seem to come and try to interrupt that, or to get us to lose that habit, or to break that pattern. We all have our shortcomings in that respect. One of the reasons I believe that the early church was so successful was because of its prayer life. Totally united. Individually, corporately, together, prayer at the centre. They prayed regularly. They prayed in the power of the name of Jesus Christ, and they prayed no matter what was taking place around them. And we see that certainly in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning. But prayer binds us together. It makes us as Jesus desired us to be, as he is saying so clearly in that gospel reading today. His desire that we be one. It's the unifying factor. The Holy Spirit can then have his way amongst us. And we can be the church that Jesus desires us to be. When we give ourselves to prayer, we are giving the Holy Spirit that opportunity to speak to us. We're also creating the opportunity for us to hear the Holy Spirit when he is speaking to us, to strengthen us, and to guide us. And we need all of those qualities. I've always loved the statement from John Wesley that prayer is where the action is. The prayer isn't intended to be some activity that doesn't have any impact whatsoever. Prayer is where the action is. And it's through testimony and experience of millions of people across the millennia that we know that prayer changes things. The accounts in our Bible reinforce that for us, that prayer changes things. Through our own personal experience, through my personal experience, I know that prayer changes things. But first and foremost, it changes me. It changes you as you engage in prayer. Because it aligns us with God's Holy Spirit so we can hear the Lord talking to us. Prayer always makes a difference. And those of you who have experienced the prayer course through our home groups recently will know that there are many different ways for us to pray. And actually, we need to know all of those different types and ways of praying so that we can use the right way of prayer for the circumstances that we are in. But perhaps central to all our prayers is allowing the Holy Spirit to move us into a place where we can hear the Lord speaking to us. What is it he wants to say to you, to me, to his church? That we can be right in the centre of his will, doing exactly what he wants us to do, being where he wants us to be, and praying in that powerful name of Jesus Christ. And again, our reading from Acts reminds us of what can be done when we are in that place, when things are tough, when things are difficult, and we pray in all circumstances in that powerful name of Jesus Christ. Prayer changes things. I know that when I am feeling utterly defeated or crushed by circumstance, I know that it is only prayer that will change that. It's only me coming before the Lord that will change that situation. I know that I need his help. I desperately need his help. And when I'm in that situation, I try to identify exactly what it is. What is it, Lord, that is making me feel like this? When did I lose my peace? Why am I getting so wound up by this? And then once I've identified that, then I go to Scripture and I'm trying to identify particular sections of Scripture that speak into that situation for me, so I can speak that over my life. Words of power, words of truth that are pertinent to where I am at that time. It changes me. It changes the situation. Thanking God for who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Paul and Silas were in a desperate place, weren't they? Terrible place. I love the way that Paul, it just struck me again this morning as Alistair was reading to it, the way that Luke describes it. Paul, very much annoyed. He's got fed up with this voice constantly at him all the time and interrupting what they're doing. So Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, speaking directly to the thing that's causing the problem, I order you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. The power in the name of Jesus that we all have. We all have. Through that Holy Spirit resting in us, we've got the same power that Paul had to speak into situations in the name of Jesus Christ and turn them around, to change them. And there they are, though, as a result of doing that. They're arrested, they're roughed up by the crowd. They're then beaten severely with rods and then locked in stocks in the innermost cell in the prison. That cell was designed specifically to sap all elements of hope out of whoever was there. There is no hope of rescue. There is no hope for you. You're right in the middle here. No escape. And yet, look what they do. We're told they begin to pray and they worship. They choose to do that. They could have chosen to do a lot of other things, couldn't they? They could have chosen to moan and complain and to shout at the guard and say, it's not fair. But they choose to pray and they choose to worship. And then look at what happens next. It's that wonderful kind of collision of what our Archbishop was saying about that I'll just draw our attention to at the beginning. Our Archbishop says, let's pray that all Christians will find new life in Jesus Christ. There, in that situation, they're praying for that new life. They find that new life and the circumstances around them change. Our Archbishop wants us to pray that everyone we meet might see something of Jesus Christ within us. Look what happens as they pray and worship. The jailer sees the life of Jesus Christ in them and is transformed by it. Totally and utterly transformed by it. He comes to faith. And his behaviour and his outlook on life is completely transformed. And then finally, our Archbishop is saying to us, let's pray that the church will overflow with the presence of Jesus. Look at what happens as a result of their prayer and worship. The church increases in number. The jailer and all his household are baptised. The authorities realise that a grave miscarriage of justice has taken place. Wow, there's massive contrition that's going on there to try and appease Paul. Because they would be in real trouble for having done what they've done. Not giving a Roman citizen a fair trial and having them flogged before they've had a chance to say anything. And then the account goes on to tell us how the local believers are encouraged greatly by what Paul and Silas then share with the local church. It changes everything. Prayer changes everything. Pray in all circumstances. And when you're struggling, don't forget perhaps the most powerful and helpful prayer of the lot. Lord, help me to pray. Help me to pray. And he always answers. I remember being taken by a testimony of Justin Welby. And I'll share this with you to bring things to a close. He was sharing a story of a long time before he entered into ministry. And he was working in Africa. And he'd been kidnapped. He'd been kidnapped and the business that he was working for were being asked for a huge ransom. Or he would be executed. And he was thrown into a prison and locked away on his own. And he didn't know if he was ever going to get out. And he shared that he was, after many days, he was so emotionally exhausted, physically, mentally, spiritually drained, that he could not raise the strength to begin to extemporize conversation in prayer with the Lord. And so he cried out, Lord, help me to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And he went on to complete the prayer which he knows in his heart and in his spirit. And by doing so, he received strength, he received comfort, he received hope. and he was released. I mean, obviously, because he's here now, isn't he, as our archbishop. But don't let's think, you know, that these guys, as great as our archbishop is, and we should constantly thank the Lord for him and his witness and ministry. Because he too has his off days. He too has days when he needs the prayers of others, especially in that position that he has, to hold him, that he might lead and that he might guide. So thy kingdom come, and the prayer that Jesus gave us to say. And we can all do that much, can't we?